Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Glory to God. It's such a joy to be able to be together and be allowed, have freedom to worship the King of Glory. And we can understand and we can see how in certain areas, even in the United States, that in some states, with no fault of the believers of the churches, but they have had to have restrictions, and in some areas they're not able to meet like we are able to meet here. And I'm so grateful. I want to say thank you, Lord.
Yes.
But secondarily, also realize the enemy is anxious to stop the praises of Jesus Christ. Regions and states are, I want to tell you, in certain realms of the Spirit, they're helpless without the glory of Jesus Christ, without the exaltation of Jesus Christ. That's why we do the Apostles' Creed, we do the Lord's Prayer. We want to speak with our mouths and decree. And it affects the atmosphere. It blesses the atmosphere as believers stand and say, I believe in Jesus. And I proclaim in Jesus' name, we sanctify these areas. And we plant the flag of the name of Jesus. And devil, you get your hands off this territory. Take your hands off this neighborhood. People who are promoting drugs, we bind you. Drug trafficking, stop in Jesus' name. All this violence and drug gangs, we bind you. And there are forces of darkness ready to take over if we will not be there, realize our authority in Jesus' name, and we will not give up this area to the dark influence of drug demons and violence demons. And we know in certain cities that little kids have to be really careful that they don't get assaulted. And so we are grateful. By the way, we want to give thanks at this time as we concluded communion and are together, that we put divine protection over our police, over our law enforcement.
Amen.
And we say, God
Amen.
Bless you. God,
Amen.
The angels
Thank
of God
Jesus.
Protect you. Where there are organized mobs who want to do violence to our nation and our cities, that people, good people, law-abiding people, have fear driving around. And just beware, they had no fear. They're afraid in some areas. And we just say, America is
Amen.
Not going to bow its knee to the devil and all the
Amen.
Powers of violence
yes.
and mobs and all of
Thank
that.
You, Lord.
That we and you are authorized, and we commission you again to be the head and not the tail. So therefore, your children are going to live in peace. Where they want to play in the backyard or the front yard, they will not in any way be hurt by powers of violence and craziness and all these drugs, drug traffic. In some areas, God has really given grace, but in some areas, it's quite something. People are shy about sharing their fears, but some regions are really, surprisingly, where we used to, for a long number of years, decades, the people lived in peace. Suddenly, there are people we have found out also that they are paid by there are those who from overseas raise up armies of Marxists and others who create havoc in our land. So anyway, we continue to pray and to stand and to confess in your home, in the church, and over this land and over America.
Amen.
America, that Jesus is Lord
Amen.
Over the United
Amen.
States of America.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Jesus is Lord over our children, and we bless them. and they are growing up in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so we do not want to take our freedoms for granted. In these last few months, I mean, all these years, we're somewhat spoiled, and we have had these privileges, and we took them for granted in some ways. Because now, I know some of the leaders in some other areas that their churches have been shut down, and they've had to meet on the beaches and other areas. And I want to give thanks to the Lord that we have the measure of freedom we have here, but we do not want to take that for granted. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Each day I raise up and wake up and I say, thank you, Lord. Amen. We are living in freedom. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So in that context, I did want to share a scripture with you. We have had such a joy, I want to tell you it. I feel if I don't come to church and pray
at the watch,
it's one of the special times that, of course, we have to eat Sunday. I'm so glad that we can worship Jesus together as a community. And then on Sunday, we have communion Sunday, but on Friday night, we have several hours where we can praise God and pray as the Lord is leading us and do certain things. By the way, we are joined by voices and intercessors from Slovakia, from Brazil, from the Caribbean, from Korea. We have people from India communicating with us while we are watching and praying. So it's really a delightful thing to experience that. So in the watch then, this Friday, we really were in the Word. And one of the things that Lord seemed to emphasize and underline for us that I felt like He was going to give extra strength to us was to look at Mark chapter 5. There is a quotation that it came, one of the words that came for us was the word that Jesus spoke, saying, Talitha kumi, little girl or little lamb, get up and resume your life. But so I wanted us to look at that scripture, especially it's in Mark chapter 5. Starting with verse 21. Now, the first part of this scripture, Mark chapter 5, is dealt with one of the most challenging of His life events that Jesus has had. He has had to speak deliverance over the Gadarene demoniac. And surprisingly, and I never expected that as I was growing up, but when Bonnie and I, where God released us in a major evangelism grace, and we would meet in all across the Congo, Zaire, and God arranged for us to be able to hire huge arenas and stadiums or fields that they made available to us, and we had to pay for them, but God made it. Many gracious people helped us in offerings here that we could do vast revivals across Africa. And we did some in other nations, but Africa was the strategic place. But there were occasions where we could take vast crowds. We had multiple thousands of believers or people who had been in witchcraft, others confess their sins, repent and receive Jesus Christ. So these would be thousands of people. And then I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, baptize this people. I said, it's easy for you to say. How are we going to come up with a tank? My background was Baptist traditions. So you have to have a tank of water, and then people line up and then we would baptize them. And we used to do that because in some of the meetings we would have 20, 30 people get baptized. pretty good until you go to Africa. And we have, how many people are going to be baptized this morning? 3,000. Aha. So, and this happened for us for real. I remember this is in Kinshasa that we had to get permission. And it was, we were fortunate that we had, through the family need, and they had a grandchild that was unable to speak, was that tongue was not working, and so it was considered, quite challenging. He was 5 years old, and they brought him to me in one of my services, and I knew what it was. I said, commanded that deaf and dumb spirit to come out of him, and he started talking immediately. It was quite something. And the grandpa was General Botedi, of the supreme commander of the armed forces of Zaire. And so we had an inn there, and I asked one favor, can we get permission to baptize in the Congo River? And he said, yes, but you have to take my soldiers. And I knew if you took soldiers, you took their machine guns, because they never went without machine guns. And I did not want machine guns at my baptism service. He said, you don't take soldiers? No permission. So I had to tell, okay, soldiers, come. And I think I've shared with you, I wore my nice pair, brand new, of Nike jogging shoes. And I went to do, we had 3,000 to be baptized. And we still have their names. So it wasn't like, well, we estimate that this is accurate reading. 3,000 plus, maybe there was some more after that. But definitely 3,000. And the women, there would be bushes where they would put clothing, and that would be where the women would change, and we had another place where the men changed. And I had 110 pastors from the local area who helped me baptize all across. I don't know, it would take too much time, but when I first stepped in, and there were giant logs floating around, and as I went in and went on to my waist into the river, this is one of the yuckiest, muddiest rivers you've ever seen. So it started absorbing my feet. And then these logs opened their mouths. And I said to myself, self, this is not logs. These are crocodiles. And then the soldiers with machine guns, I realized then that I'm so glad they came, because they started shooting at the logs. And the crocodiles were not happy, but they floated away. And we baptized. But it was at that time, I was on the first right, extreme right. And then at intervals of 15, 20 feet, there would be a couple of pastors. And we used about 150 pastors. And then at the extreme left was where this woman that was like a female image of the Gadarene demoniac ran out, and her clothing was filthy. She had lived in the bush for a few years, and had gone completely gaga, whatever you would say, that she was not in her right mind. And so she thought that we were playing games, and that they were swimming. So the people had come to swim in the river. So she said, I want to swim. I want to see. Let me swim. So the pastors on the other hand, they never asked me any permission. They said, you want to swim? Come, we'll help you swim. They brought her into the waters, and they said, we baptize you in Jesus' name. Poof, and put her underwater. When she came out, it was a surprise to everyone that she had been completely delivered by the Lord, and she came back in the right mind. 2 years later, I was taking a small flight from Kananga to back to Kinshasa, and there was a stewardess waiting on us, so Congolese stewardess, very sweet, and then she leaned over to me and said, "You, Pastor, I know you. Do you recognize me?" I said, no, ma'am. She said, I am the one who was demonized and was in the Congo River and got baptized. And I came to my right mind and got training, and now I'm a stewardess. So, praise God. So, that's Jesus comes with a Gadarene experience. And here is the script, but he lands. Now it's Jesus returns. And now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, verse 21, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So this is really what we need to note. Well, among the things that in a moment I'll read, Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things. So here it is. He's landing. Now, his reputation is going all over. Miracles are happening through this man. And I mean, people started talking and sharing. And in this scripture, what's fascinating is that among the things that comes to the forefront is there are two women mentioned. And the number 12 is common to both of them. There's an older lady. She may have been in her 30s. Who knows? 35. They don't tell us the detail. But she had been suffering with this sickness for 12 years. And she knew that this was slowly draining her and killing her, and she was dying, in a sense. It appears like it was some kind of internal cancer, and she was probably bleeding to death. We had a lady come some weeks ago, in the early part of the year, who had what we would call an issue of blood, but she had cancer of the kidneys. And when she came, she worshiped with us on a Friday night. And she had been suffering at least 4 years. And it was, I don't know whether it was a stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. And she had been bleeding to the kidneys for about 4+ years. And while she was worshiping here with us and getting prayer, the glory of God came on her. And she went to the bathroom. And for the first time, there was no blood. And she was healed. And then she went to a doctor. And you can never tell. It's so wonderful to have this atmosphere and preserve this atmosphere that we believe in healing. We believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And there is power in the name of Jesus, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus. And all of you carry the name of Jesus, and you carry the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is blessing you, and may the glory of the Lord hover over you always, day and night, so whoever you pray for gets healed, gets delivered. In Jesus' name, you have authority in the name of Jesus. By the way, one of the things, Bonnie and I had the privilege of, we had to do a Zoom meeting for a Catholic Charismatic Conference. We were supposed to fly there, but because of this season we're going through, they said, we'll do it by Zoom meeting. But it was really anointed and awesome. And it seemed like we were back when the charismatic movement started. There was such joy and infilling of the Holy Spirit. So here you find that there is a lady with an issue of blood. And She is praying. She knows she's dying. She has spent all her money almost. Very little is left. And she realizes Jesus is here. Oh, she could possibly touch the hem of his garment and be healed. At the same time, there is Jairus, who is a governor of a synagogue. And the authorities in that region, all across pretty much, in the area of Jerusalem, Judea, many of the official people did not care for Jesus because he was shattering some of their old-timey beliefs and traditions. So it was quite an amazing act of courage that Jairus, who was a governor of a synagogue, came to Jesus, and he had enough sense to know his daughter is dying, who is 12 years old, and if he doesn't get to Jesus, he knows inside his heart that my daughter is going to be dead with this infirmity. And it's quite something to see the priorities. That as Jesus lands, then he meets this governor of the synagogue. My daughter is dying. And please, come. If you pray for her, we thank you, Lord. So here, the lady comes. So Jesus went with Jairus, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So big crowd is with him. But now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, and some of the translations emphasize, she kept on seeing, confessing. It was almost, it was not just a revelation, but she confessing. She said, if only I touch him, if I can only touch him, touch his clothes, or the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. And it's the word quickening to her. And immediately, the moment she touched the hem of his garment, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So it's not like she has a big test and they say, okay. But she knew. She knew that she felt good. And Jesus, immediately knowing to himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples says, "Hey, you are here with all these people. What do you mean, who touched? There are large numbers of people meshing around us." But he knew someone had touched him in the glory. And he could feel the passage of glory. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And it's so beautiful. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So, the first part is this. Immediately, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. There was level one of healing. Basically, she was healed physically. But something needed to happen. There were several levels to her affliction. She was healed of level one, the physical part. But it had taken its toll emotionally, mentally, for 12 years.
shared this yoke. So when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" there was a reason. He didn't want her to be hidden. He wanted her to be well 100%. So when the woman comes fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down at his feet, told him the whole truth. He said to her, and there was anointing, stage 2 or 3, that needed to be released over her. And he was so full of love, he wanted her to receive the whole package. She would have been satisfied with just level 1. Jesus wanted her to get the complete healing. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well, body, soul, spirit, at every level. This is being released for you. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." In the Greek, you understand, as you read that it was, like I just put it in my own words, you are healed, not only at level 1, but level 2 and 3. You needed to be made whole. And so that pause, there was a pressure, not only on Jesus, but on the disciples. There is a little girl, 12 years old. She's dying. She's the daughter of Jairus. And then we look at Jairus himself. He's not supposed to be at Jesus. He's declaring he's not a party man. A party does not recognize, if I could put it that way, the Jesus or his authority or the aspect of theology he's bringing. It would be wrong for him to think to let our people know that he is a follower of Jesus. That was a big no-no. He didn't care who was angry at him. His daughter needed to become well. His daughter needed a touch from Jesus and be healed. She was dying, and he knew that he knew as a father, my little daughter is going to die if I don't get the healing touch from Jesus. So he humbles himself, and he is a great model of fatherhood and manhood, because the pressure would have been different. The pressure would have been, if you can get him at night, maybe, but don't you be in public and show you are on his side and et cetera, et cetera. The moment Jesus hears there's a girl dying, he says, "Okay, take me, I'll follow you." Did you have a comment?
Go ahead. No. Preach on.
Well, it all came from on Friday. The Lord was underlining, and I believe he wanted to release part 2 and 3 of healing and anointing and strength over each of you, that we don't get to level, we shouldn't be satisfied with level 1, that the first woman, my heart is touched by her humility. She desperately needs a touch, but she does not want to interrupt Jesus. He's on his way to heal this little 12-year-old girl. I don't want to interpose, but if I can get, I am dying, and I need that healing touch. And he looked around to see who had done this. So, and then, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Though it was the connection with the glory that made her. I mean, Jesus was, if I can say it that way, was being very modest. She needed to get a touch from the glory. Always remember, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, it's about you and all of us. He said, "You shall," meaning common you, all of you, "you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you're going to be my witnesses." So power, power, power. Say power.
Power.
And so each of you has been commissioned. You have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means it's awesome. You are filled. Every molecule of your being is vibrating at a different frequency than most people out there. They realize that you are a disciple, you are a person. As you have received Jesus, something has transformed. It says that in 2 Corinthians 3, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed from glory to glory. It's metamorphosis, something glorious has happened inside you, that unless you receive Jesus Christ and then get that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you are like everybody else. But as the glory comes, that's an aspect, that's how I describe the thick presence of the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But often, there's so many overwhelming, we have had days that there are so many needy. And I will say, you lay hands on this, and the glory comes. And that's why it's good not only to be part of a body, but be committed and come as regularly as you can, because impartation is coming. Your vibration, if I could put some detector units on you that could measure the Holy Spirit, you would start, it would be beeping. Boom, 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 boom. Say, that's you. This vessel is full of power and anointing. Doesn't matter whether they're 10 years old or 90 years old. The anointing is there mightily over you. And then Jesus goes on. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, it really is terrible that they were thinking more about, I don't know what, and just that poor guy, the Jairus. Hey, don't bother Jesus now. Your daughter is dead. I would not have held my temper. Anyway, why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. And that's, I am so humbled by his humility. He doesn't puff himself up and say, I am the one. I'm the one who's carrying the healing. He could have, but his duty was to comfort Jairus. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And years ago, it's a big story. I need to put it in a book. But where the word of the Lord came, wake up, sleeping beauty. And on Sunday morning, we had communion this morning. It was at communion that the Lord quickened what that word meant. Wake up, sleeping beauty. That there was a girl, there was a whole group, women's group, that in Nashville, singing group, and their lead guitarist was in a diabetic coma, had been for many days, and she was dying. And the Lord had given me the word. Said, sometime we got to seek the word. Lord, we can seek his presence, of course, always. But sometimes a special word will come, and we become stewards of that word. And the anointing, God, I could have just phoned and said, well, speak this word over there. No. Something had been imparted, and I had to release it. I knew I had to release it. So it took us 9 hours to go from, it was a real stormy day. At around noon here, or something around 11:45 or so, I got in a van here. And we went directly to Nashville, to the Vanderbilt Hospital. And the woman, they were releasing, it was just a matter of time. They had to, artificial machines were going to maintain her life, but that brought her mother from New Zealand, so she could say bye to her daughter. Then they were going to release her to go and well, die, basically, and be buried. And I went in there and into the intensive care. The reason I brought this is sometimes we may not understand why, as soon as Jesus heard the word, he spoke to the synagogue, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, why is that? And I got up to the intensive care unit, and the whole big waiting room was filled by a lot of the friends of this singing group in Nashville. So they were all there, and I went through them. Later, when I came out, I talked with them, but I couldn't. It wasn't allowed by the Lord to even talk with anybody. I just went, had to go, and then they said, "This is the mother," and all that outside the door. And I looked at her, and I said, "You stay here." And I went in. I said, "What am I doing? The mother has flown all the way from New Zealand, and I'm telling her to stay out." I did not understand. Who do you think you are, telling the mother to stay out? But I just took the guys that were with me and a couple of the men that I knew, who I knew believed in prayer, believed in the Holy Spirit, and they were anointed. And I didn't want anybody else. Now, I could not explain, and I'm glad nobody asked me to explain. I just come in and pray. And the moment I took that girl's hand, and I said, "Hi, Lynn. Wake up, sleeping beauty." And that was the word God had given, and I was a steward in a sense. I spoke it. And the glory of God came and healed that girl completely. And the bill was... her bill in the hospital was $350,000, something like that. And they released her a third day and gave her a copy of her bill. And they said, "No charge." Yeah. We had nothing. And I saw the copy. You saw the letter. We had nothing to do with her healing. And so, but you may wonder, now that's an odd thing to put in there, where Jesus tells, "No, you don't follow him. You don't follow him. You too, go with him." There is a reason for it. I would say my conjecture would be everybody that almost, body, soul, and spirit, that were committed to see this girl healed. No political reason behind it or anything, but that this girl, Lynn, would be healed. But I remember doing the same thing. I could have no explanation why I kept her, the mother, out. I still feel guilty today that I did, but my priority was to see this woman healed. That was my responsibility, I felt. Yeah. And not to be political, not to be, that was, can be done later. Now we got to get that healing. So it is, this is the wonderful thing. "Why make this commotion?" Jesus says, "and weep. The child is not dead, but sleeping." Now the child may have departed, but as far as Jesus is concerned, the glory would share with him. Her spirit is not far away. We can call her back. Something like that. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, 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 and entered the child where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi, little girl, rise up." Or some translation says, "Little lamb, rise up. I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose walked. She was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he, Jesus, commanded them strictly, no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. One small footnote that you may want to remember is that if your job and assignment is to go raise the dead, take a burger, Burger King, McDonald's, whatever you prefer, and take it in your pocket so that when you raise the dead, you can feed them also. Because this has happened to this in the same way to that African boy that's 6 years old whose body was in the morgue. And I had a word of knowledge, and God resurrected that little boy. He woke up and he said, where's my father? And then he said, I am hungry. Give me food to eat. So I've come across this theology, at least, that if you're going to raise the dead, take a sandwich with you. But this is another thing that it's fascinating. And these are disciplines that happen, that as it happens to you, you will get some measure of perceptions. But God does not have to explain a thing. I would rather get the miracle and how it happened. Maybe sometimes he may let you know how it happened, but he doesn't have to explain. Lord, just give us the miracles. Lord, give us the signs and the wonders so that Jesus would be famous in our lifetime. So, I mean, I'm grateful for all the hospitals, wonderful doctors and all that. But it's great when you know it is totally supernatural that the Lord has done that. So in this, I mean, there are some, in this chapter alone, there are so many unusual, wonderful characters. For me, the 12, the one who had the 12-year disease, and the little girl who was 12 years old. They both get supernatural, amazing miracles. Talitha Kumi, rise up, little girl. Be healed. You have a destiny. And then there have been times where the Lord will give you possibly a vision that'll, as you are ministering, where there is an extreme need of healing, the Lord may show you that person's life. And there have been a few times where I will see what are they going to go, what field are they going to choose, they're going to go to college, and God's going to provide and the Lord often wants to encourage you by saying, don't, when you get a breakthrough and a miracle, don't worry about 5, 6, 7, 27 points. Get the miracle in the point 1, 2, and 3. That may be the grace God gives you. Later, he'll give you all the details of how it's going to come to pass. He's not obligated to give you all the steps. The steps will take place. One by one, he will show us. But I so appreciate the humanity of the Lord as well as the glory of the Lord. Here it shows both, because as he resurrects the 12-year-old girl, says, by the way, she's going to be very hungry. Give her some food. So she probably got some falafel and hummus. It wasn't a burger. That would be my conjecture. Amen?
Amen.
Oh. So, Talitha Kumi.
Amen.
I was going to share, but we have had a good time. But the manliness and the, well, by that I mean the leadership of Jairus is another aspect, that he so humbled himself. He knew the need he had. And did he truly love his daughter? He said, oh, you bet your life. He went to Jesus and he humbled himself. He went on his knees and said, Lord, my daughter is dying. Please come. That's humility. That I believe that's an instruction for us. That as a community of God, we go further. We want God to help us say, Lord, let not this Wuhan virus have any victory. Lord, yeah. Defeat this dark shadow
yes.
that has tried to come
yes.
over our nation and over every nation.
Yeah.
You, Wuhan virus, you will bow to the name of Jesus. You are not as big as the Lord. And our God is mighty, and He defeats every foe. And you are just a disease. We bind you. Lord,
yes.
set
Thank
the
you,
nations
Jesus.
Free
yes,
from
Lord.
Every spirit of infirmity
yes.
and disease. In the name of Jesus,
God,
we plead the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Realize Exodus 12, in the first Passover, that it required the men to put, or every family, and then if the family couldn't, then the extra family would not be able to do, they could not even afford to buy a lamb. They said, it's fine. You can come under the shelter of this family. And the blood that's put over the doorpost and lintel, that you also just come under the covering and you'll be fine. So the Lord arranged it so that, but we have to humble ourselves and realize if the angel of death was going to pass over, we needed the covering of the blood of the Lamb. So the blood of the Lamb will set you free. Man, that's what a bargain. That's all that's needed. Put the blood of the Lamb and you're going to come out and all the treasures of the last 400 years are going to come back to you. So I'm praying, Lord, restore the fortunes of the United States of America.
Amen, Lord.
Everything the devil has stolen. He's a thief and a robber where people's livelihoods have been affected, where jobs have been taken, where wonderful people have lost their jobs. Lord, you are the God of restoration. You're going to restore our economy, and the jobs are going to come forth, and even bigger jobs. Lord, resolve the confusion in our government. Resolve, Lord, like no one else can do. You will give us the victory, even where our elections are concerned. Lord, let confusion not reign. Give us clarity. We'll give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Him praise. Thank you, Father.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
You know, Mahesh, the church fathers, one of the original and principal doctrines, if you will, that the church fathers in the generation after the apostles who were with Jesus, they had the idea of Christus Victor, Christ the victorious one. And that was the essence that gave the apostles their faith to live the way they lived, to testify the way they testified in the context, political as well as economic and practical, very difficult time, very difficult era that they lived in, but with tremendous miracles because of the anointing. But the essence of their mission was from the revelation of Jesus, the victor, the victorious one. In all circumstances, that He was the victor. And in 1 John 5, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So where is our victory? It's in our faith. It's in our faith. That is the location of where our victory is at for every single thing that we face and that we experience, the embodiment of the reality that the yes and amen, the victory has been given us in Jesus Christ. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Son, in he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in the apostles' letter there, that is the theme. The church fathers took from the writings of John that Christ is victorious. The commander of armies has overcome. That God did this unusual act, this unusual cosmic victory where he went through utter defeat and utter darkness and utter humility in order to utterly spoil principalities and powers and gain the victory, not for himself, but for the entire cosmos, humanity, and creation. And there are 12 specific things that the apostle puts forward in this theme of the overcomer. That number one, it is the children of God that keeps God's commands. That the Spirit of God witnesses in us continually that Christ is present and he is coming. That we have a love for one another that overcomes and outshines the love that is possible in the world. And that that love is an overcoming power in itself. And that we can know certain things for sure. We can have joy because Christ is victor. We can know that we have been delivered from the power of sin because Christ is victor. That our sins have been forgiven because Christ is victor. That God is our Father because Christ has overcome. That we know Jesus, he's been revealed because he has overcome death. He was resurrected, raised from the grave, seen by many, ascended to the Father. That we have overcome the evil one because Christ has overcome him. That we are strong. He enumerates all of these things for the overcomers. That the word abides in us, that we know the truth, that we cannot be deceived by deceivers. All of these things because Christ has overcome and that we have eternal life. And then in John's revelation, he says to the overcomer, say to the overcomer. I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There is something waiting for you as you overcome in your faith. To the overcomer, he will not be hurt by the second death. To the overcomer, praise the Lord. I will give him power over the nations. This is yours. To the overcomer. To the overcomer, he'll have a new raiment, white garments, and I will keep his name or write his name in the eternal book of life. I will confess him before my Father. Can you imagine that day when the Lord of glory is going to say, introduce you personally to the Heavenly Father because you have overcome the world through your faith because Christ is victor. To him who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Those great fortifications that literally held up the edifice, hold up the edifice where the presence of God is eternally. And I will write on him the name of my God. I'll write on him the name of the Holy Jerusalem. These are ours, and we will experience in reality these things. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne just as I have overcome and have sat with my Father in the throne. To him who overcomes, Revelation 21, 7, he shall inherit all things and I will be his God and he shall be my son, she shall be my daughter. Christ has overcome and in him, we always possess the victory.
And even in that, what I'm so grateful, we can focus. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So we overcome.
Thank you.
Plead the blood.
Amen, Lord.
It's more than sufficient to bring us the answer, to bring us out
Thank
in
you,
victory.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Say, I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
The word of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
In the name of
In
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your word.
For your word.
For your promise.
For your promise.
For your healing.
For your healing.
For your deliverance.
For your deliverance.
For me.
For me.
For my children.
For my children.
For my family.
And for my family.
That's the great story of Talitha Kumi. Her father's heart was breaking because his daughter, he knew she was dying and he wouldn't see her. Probably. And he was willing to humble himself. And that's one of the things that God would tell us. He wants to give you the victory. And in the days to come, this evil disease, bullying populations all around the world. We had communication with wonderful people in Brazil on Friday. They have been also dealing with this virus. And beautiful people, wonderful believing leader they have, who believes in the Lord, who blesses Israel and Jerusalem. May they get the victory.
Amen, Lord.
Thank in you, Jesus' Jesus. Name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so if there is any place where you are sleeping or feel dead, the word of the Lord is, little lamb, get up. Daughter, rise up. Son, stand up.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Washed in the blood. Power of glory all around us. Be imparted. Be full. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? Is there anyone here that you have not had a chance yet to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior? Wave your hand at me. And if there's anyone here you have not received the infilling, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's important that you get that. If you've never had that, we'll have people here who will pray for you and bless you. So wave your hand if there's someone, I can't see into the deep darkness. There is one I see back there. Anybody else? So after we sing our anthem song, we'll release you. And the one, if there's someone else, I don't see your arm, but I know I could see someone back there. Yeah, we will have some people pray for you and receive for you. I mean, you can receive the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. You have the blood of the Lamb over yourself. Through the blood, the Passover blessings are yours.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.